Well, good morning. Thank Brother Kyle for being my pastor this week. Certainly appreciate that, brother. And appreciate all you preachers having my spirit edified consistently in the preaching of the word. Good to see the brethren here, faces that we haven't seen in some time. We're certainly thankful. You know, we just sang that hymn. And, you know, as a pastor, you begin to be burdened that the people are believing the gospel as it is written in the scriptures. And as we sang the song, and I looked up there and you saw the words, "Dressed in beauty, not my own." Brethren, if we don't have the gospel according to the word of God, if we have been removed to another message, or we're trusting in other things for our acceptance with God, then we will not be dressed with the righteousness of Christ. We will, as it were, sew fig leaves together, and we will be dressed in our own works, which stink in the nose of God. And so, brethren, I pray you would see that. You will not be wakened up from the wrath to flee, as the hymn says, if you don't hear the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as fellow pastors, I know that you have a jealousy for the true message that would be preached, that it would not be diluted, it would not be changed, it would not be doctored. And so that you would see the genuine salvation of souls. You would see men and women, young people, truly turn from their wicked ways unto Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you today, the Spirit of God does not use a synthetic message. The Spirit of God does not use a different message. The Spirit of God uses the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we find ourselves in the book of Galatians in chapter 1, Paul was a fighter, I believe. I believe if we'd have met him, I think in South Louisiana lingo, he'd have been a scrapper. And he was a fighter, and he was always preaching the gospel, and there was always contention, as we'll see in the book of Thessalonians here in a few minutes. But in the book of the Epistle to the Galatians, of course, Paul was always vindicating his apostleship. And you can answer why that was. I believe some of it was who he was, where he came from. He wasn't one of the original 12 that walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see him often vindicating his apostleship. And you see that in the beginning here of the book of Galatians. He says there, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he makes this precious statement, and we won't spend time here, but he says, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." If we diminish, if we dilute, if we add to the gospel, then it ceases to be glorious. It ceases to be the powerful message that God has decreed that we would preach to the sons and daughters of Adam. It will cease to save sinners if it is added to, if it is diminished by men and by traditions. And that's what was happening to the Galatian church. These churches of Galatia embraced the gospel. They embraced it. They believed that they were delivered from their sins. They were freed from the works of the law, if you will, these Gentile churches. And look there, he says in verse 6, he says, Paul writes to them, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 15, but he says, "I marvel that you are," and get those three words, he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And you know as well as I do, brethren, if you go around to the communities and the churches and you see these parachurch organizations being raised up, they are raising up new messages. They are raising up new methods. They are marketing themselves. There's a seeker-sensitive church because they're not satisfied with the results of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they're going to take matters into their own hands. And people are doing this all over the states, all over the world, brethren. They are bringing in new methods because they are not satisfied with the true gospel message. It's one of those phrases that you shouldn't have to say, true gospel message, but you have to say true gospel message. You know, in the U.S. Air Force, and I was in the Air Force for 36 years. I'm actually still in the Air Force. I'm retiring here. May 1st, my ETS. That's why I grew a little beard here. But when you sign off a major discrepancy in the forms of an F-15 or any jet, any fighter, it's of utmost importance. And when I was a flight chief, I would have to go out and I had to sign the inspected by on the forms as a corrected by. And the maintainer would sign off that he corrected that discrepancy. And he would have to put stabilator actuator removed and replaced. And he had to put IAW in accordance with 1F15A-2-12JG-10-27, which is the job guide, chapter and verse, for how you change that stabilator actuator. And so when I would go and look, and the red X in the forms is a major discrepancy. And if you didn't sign off that red X in accordance with the tech data, in accordance with the maintenance Bible, if you will, then you didn't do it right. And so when I'd go to some of my maintainers and I'd say, well, which tech order did you use? Or you would go out in the middle of that maintenance practice and you would say, where's your book? Where's your tech data? Because if you're not following it, then you're not doing that job right. And so it needs to be in accordance with. And so I'd ask my maintainers all the time. They said, I did this job. I said, what's the chapter and verse? Where is it at? Let me see it. And if they didn't, you know what? They were going to go back and do it again. And you were going to go back and you were going to show me what you did in that airplane. And so, brethren, the gospel needs to be in accordance with what is written in the Word. We need to not be adding to it. We need to not be taking away from it. As you know, when you talk to people, and you'll talk to seemingly Orthodox Christians, and you'll ask them, they'll say, yes, I'm saved. And say, well, what happened? Tell me about your salvation. Tell me what is the gospel. And you really ask them, what is the gospel? And you get all kind of, well, the gospel is Jesus. Well, the gospel is the Bible. And people don't know. People that call themselves Christians today, they don't know what the genuine gospel is. I just want them to tell me that, just tell me that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and I'm one and he saved me from my sins. I just want to hear that. Just tell me that you've been saved from your sins. Don't tell me, oh, yes, I was saved. Yes, I was baptized. That's good, but how were you saved? That's what I want to know. And Paul's talking to the Galatian church now, the letters. And let's just go back to Acts chapter 15, because you know that they had a conference there about the question of those Judaizing teachers that were adding to the message of Christ. And I want you to notice a few things that are written here when you go to Acts 15. But he says you were so soon removed. And what that means is you've changed sides, Paul said. You've exchanged what you believed, what liberated you, what freed you from your sins, for something else. Why did you do that? Is your faith overturned? And so Paul is standing in doubt of these believers in these churches of Galatia because they've so soon abandoned the true message of Christ, the message that freed them from their sins, for another gospel, which was not really another gospel. But if you look in Acts 15, he says, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see that? When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know that how a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Of course, he's talking about Cornelius's house. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. The gospel of Christ alone, nothing added to it, beloved. Look at verse 24. Just turn over there. And they wrote the letters to the churches. And I'll just read to you. It says verse 23, and they wrote letters. Of course, the edict fell to James. And James down there in verse 19, he said, my sentence is that we trouble them not. And that's what they were doing. They were being troubled from the true message of Christ. He said that we trouble them not, verse 19, from among the Gentiles, that it turned unto God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. And then we go to verse 24, and in the letter it is written, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. And so the true message of Christ was being overturned by these false brethren, which came out from the church there at Jerusalem. And so they were overturning the faith of these new believers by adding circumcision to their gospel experience, if you will, to their salvation. And you think about it, brethren, when you add something and when we insert our own traditions or we insert our own things that we think need to be part of a man's salvation, then they begin to focus on those things. So when you think of these brethren, they think about circumcision. Well, you need to be circumcised. Well, that would probably become the thing more important than actually their faith alone in Jesus Christ. And you might think, well, that's not a big deal. It's just one thing. It's just one thing they added. They still had the gospel, right? It was a big deal. It was a huge deal because they were diluting the true message of Jesus Christ. They were adding to it. And when you add to the message of Jesus Christ, it is to say that Jesus Christ is not good enough. It is to say that his gospel needs help. It is to say that it is not enough. And that's exactly what they were saying. Paul was adamant that these false teachers were deceiving and misguiding the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. They were being misguided. And brethren, if the foundation is wrong, if we build upon a wrong foundation, then everything that goes out from there is going to be wrong. It's going to be built on the sand. It will surely fall. They were distorting. They were doctoring. They were changing the message that was entrusted to the apostles. Look at Deuteronomy 4. Let me show you a few warnings to those that would add to or take away from the word of God. In Deuteronomy 4:2, the scripture says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Brethren, as preachers of the gospel, we need to be so jealous of the message of Christ, and it needs to come forth from the word of God and not be added to. We need to keep ourselves out of the message. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. We need to teach people about the death of Christ, the burial of Christ. What happened in the death of Christ? There was propitiation. There was reconciliation. There was redemption, all wrapped up in the atonement. We need to teach them what that means. Sin has been taken out of the gospel message, brethren, in our churches. You hear the testimony of those that say they believe on Christ, and there's nothing about sin or conviction of sin or repentance from sin or turning from their wicked ways. They simply add a fake Jesus to their life, they just add him right in. Well, I just added Jesus right into my life. And so the gospel has been diluted. There's no cost. Brethren, we need to make so sure that we don't dilute the message of Christ. We need to make so sure that we're not adding to the message of Christ of our own opinions, of our own private interpretations. Deuteronomy 12, look there. In verse 32, he says, in Deuteronomy 12, 32, he says, what things soever I command you. And listen, I'm a military man. God is a commander. He commands all men everywhere to repent. He's not an advisor. He's not one that's giving sound. Let me just give you some advice. No, he is a commander. God commands. And we are to obey his commands. We are not to turn aside from his commands. We are not to doctor up his commands. We are to believe and obey his commands. So he says, I command you, observe to do it, whatsoever thing I command you. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish it. Now let me go a step further to Proverbs chapter 30. Look there, just two verses in Proverbs 30. The wise man, he says there in Proverbs 30. In verse 5 and 6, he says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee. And notice, and you, thou, will be found a liar. It scares me right down to my bones, brethren, preaching the word and ensuring that I am not changing or doctoring or adding to or removing something from the message of Christ. Because if I do, the scriptures tell me I will be found to be a liar. It is a sacred trust to be put in trust with the gospel message, brother. When the gospel is changed, it is no longer the gospel. When it is no longer the gospel, it is no longer the instrument of the Spirit of God. When it is no longer the instrument of the Spirit of God, there is no longer any power to save. Brethren, we need to be so careful with this message. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, if you look there, he says in the beginning, in his opening salutation, in Romans chapter 1, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, being sent forth for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. What an awesome responsibility. And he says there in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Not a doctored gospel, not a changed message, not a self-help message, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is revealed in that pure, true message of Christ. You change it and the power is removed. The Spirit of God will not use a synthetic gospel. And synthetic gospel raises up synthetic converts. And brethren, they do not endure unto the end, and they will not be dressed with the beautiful, glorious righteousness of Christ in that day. Even in this day, rather. I love what Peter said. He says, neither is there salvation in any other name or message. For there is none other name, and there is none other gospel given among men whereby we must be saved. They were adding the law of Moses to the gospel of Christ. Paul feared that they had believed the gospel in vain in Galatians. And brethren, it's my fear sometimes, and you know as pastors when you talk to your people, you want them to be rooted and grounded on the gospel of Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of their souls. If everything else is wrong or they're not totally settled on everything else, I'm careful to say this, but I'm fine with that. I want you to be grounded upon Jesus Christ. I want you to trust by faith alone in what He has accomplished on the cross. I want your forgiveness to totally rest in His work, not in anything that you could add to it. You know, we're just wired for works, aren't we? I think as people, we're just wired for works. We're wired for works. So we think, if somebody says do, I think we naturally go to that. And we just, well, I got to do, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, if I got to be certain, yes, I'll do that. We're wired for works. But brethren, that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not how the Lord saves sinners. He saves them by grace. Are you saved through faith alone in the work of Christ? And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's fear was that they had believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and very, very important, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if there's a condition you keep in memory, what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That's what Paul's fear was about the Galatians, since they so easily were influenced away from the true message of Christ to the message of these Judaizers who were coming in and trying to infect the churches of Galatia. And so Paul saw that. And I think Paul was, he had a very short salutation in the book of Galatians. I think there was a sense of urgency. He said his little quick salutation, he gets right to the point, and he reproves them. I marvel that you're so soon removed from the message of your liberty, the message that saved you from your sins, from the Savior. Are you now made perfect by cutting off your flesh? No, it's the Spirit of God that has illuminated your eyes to the true message of Christ. And it's the only message that the Spirit of God will move under. He says there, look at Hebrews, interesting verse in Hebrews, just two verses concerning their belief, concerning them believing in vain. He says in verse 1, 4:1, he says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But notice, but the word preached did not profit them. And that's what Paul was afraid of, because he says it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, because they were not united to the message by faith. They didn't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of their souls. And we know in Galatians 4, the apostle said, my little children, of whom I travail and birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. What else can you do when somebody now forsakes the true message? What else can you do when they're saying, well, I think I have to do these other things? And Paul stood in doubt of them. Listen, the worst enemy of any church, brethren, is when the enemy comes from within church. Remember verse 24 of Acts chapter 15. For as much as we have heard that certain false brethren which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, undermining your souls. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, and these teachers came in with subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity and sincerity and the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ, that you should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And so, brethren, that was Paul's fear. Peter, in his epistle, warned that there were false teachers in the Old Testament, just as there shall be false teachers among you that will bring in damnable heresies into the church. Jude wrote of ungodly men that would creep into the church by stealth and corrupt her doctrine. That's what was going on here. In the New Testament church, brethren, the false teachers rose up as quickly as the truth did. And Paul had to preach the gospel many a time of contention. He had to fight the good fight of faith. He had to earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude said, so that the common and true salvation of souls would not be corrupted right from the very start. You ever imagine where the church would be today unless God put it in Paul's heart to fight this fight? And you see it even today. Where would the gospel be? Sometimes I wonder that. And you say, Lord, what has happened in the church? There's so many people that are not satisfied with the simple message of the truth. That's why I'm so afraid of the many different translations of the Bible. And I look at some other ones and I'm so afraid that, Lord, if it's been is the message been translated out of the truth? Do we really have the truth if we've translated it out? And I get so afraid of that sometimes, brethren. I like to ask people where, you know, you talk to folks about the gospel and you preach the gospel to them and, you know, you talk to a sinner. I talked to a young man the other day and there's so much ignorance in the world out there. I talked to a young man the other day living with a girlfriend, friend of the family, living with a girl, living in sin, and he told me, he says, well, I don't really sin. There's absolutely no understanding. They don't understand that they have a nature of sin. You don't understand that you were born in iniquity and sin. You have no understanding. I'm not necessarily talking about the sins you committed, though you committed them, but that you are a sinner by nature. Your entire life is repulsive to God, abhorrent to God. You need to turn from your wicked ways unto Jesus Christ. Absolutely no understanding. And brethren, the only message that is a remedy for that horrible and dark condition is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the message of repentance has been taken out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The sinners becoming convicted for their own wickedness, there's no conviction anymore. Listen, the Spirit of God came and He uses the message of Christ and He convinces the world of sin. And they will not be convinced of their sin unless the true message of Jesus Christ is preached to their souls. Paul in 20:28 of Acts, and then we'll move on here, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when he spoke to the Ephesian elders. The awesome responsibility of oversight. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What a sacred trust. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Brethren, preaching another gospel is horrible, but receiving it is just as bad. And that's just what the Galatian churches were doing. So many there are today that can only regurgitate what they have been taught of the gospel without understanding it, without studying it, without proving it, or even believing it in accordance with what is written in the Word of God. Every one of us should be as the Bereans who receive the word with all readiness of mind, that is eagerness and willingness of mind, and to search the scriptures daily whether those things are so. When we hear anything preached from the pulpit, we are to search the scriptures. We are to embrace those things by faith and ask God to reveal it to us. So serious was this corruption of the gospel and undermining of the faith of God's people in the churches of Galatia that Paul declared, go back to Galatians, and he reemphasized that these false teachers should be cursed, accursed. He says there in verse 6, we'll read, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's strong words. He says again, as we have said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, he was getting ready to, obviously, he went up to this meeting, and these things are kind of happening. He had the meeting, and chapter 2 talks about the meeting when he went up, and he met with the men of reputation. He said this knowing that he was going to meet some of those different men. And I believe some of those false brethren were there at that meeting because, you know, Titus came up to him to the meeting that was at Jerusalem. And so I believe Titus was there and he was an uncircumcised Gentile. And I think that came up as an issue when they came together for that meeting. And I'll just comment a little of that at the end of this message. But Paul says, let him be accursed. And so I wonder myself, and maybe some of you preachers that are more seasoned than I, what does that mean for us when we talk to a preacher now that preaches a false gospel? How do we behave toward them? I mean, do we just, in our society of tolerance, and we just say, well, you know, it's okay. It's okay. He doesn't understand. But he's preaching it to souls. He's misguiding souls. Is he preaching a corrupt gospel? And so Paul says, let them be accursed. Twice. That's powerful. And you think that, I mean, that's a big deal. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Turn over there. And he says there, while you turn to 1 Thessalonians, I mean, is he saying, let them be devoted to the eternal destruction and doom? Is that what he's saying? He said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. Let him be anathema if any man doesn't love the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of Paul. I'm sorry, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. I had you going to Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah, I went there. Yes, 1 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2 is where we are now. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, that is, persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. And I love verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom, the philosophy, the ideas, the traditions of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. Brethren, we need to remain satisfied with this perfect message of the Scriptures. The salvation of our souls rest upon it. That we rest upon the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is written in accordance with the Scriptures. In accordance with the truth of God's Word. Preaching and believing another gospel is to hold the true gospel in contempt. That's what it really is to do. And think about that. It's for you to look at God and say, I need to fix this up for you because what you presented and gave to us and what you entrusted to me is not good enough. That's exactly what you're saying. And that's why Paul said, let him be accursed. It was a direct affront to God. We need to think of these things seriously. Don't be influenced by the way of the world and this. You know, if we're standing upon the promises of God, if we're standing upon the true message of Christ, then face it, you're going to be offensive. You're going to be intolerant. You're going to be a hater. That's how you're going to be viewed. You're just a hater. You know, it's got to be your way or the highway. No, it's God's way or the highway. That's the way it's got to be, brethren. And now to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in among you, that it was not in vain. Even after we had suffered before, we were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That's because the enemies of the gospel were always there. For our exhortation was not of deceit or of uncleanness, nor in guile, but notice, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, that is huge. We need to look at that and say, that's a big deal that God would trust me to preach His message. The Lord God Almighty would trust me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the never-dying souls of men. That's precious. That's glorious. Let us not change that which is glorious into something that we think we need to help because we don't think it's working fast enough. He says there, for neither at any time, I'm sorry, I didn't finish that. We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing not to have imparted unto you, or to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. If it's not the word of God, it is not going to work effectually. It is not going to bring faith. It is not going to point sinners to Christ. It is not going to charge them to flee from the wrath to come. The gospel that I preach, saith Paul, back to verse 10 and 11, and we'll finish out Galatians here, the chapter 1. The gospel that I preach, he says, for do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got his gospel by direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. He didn't walk with the other 12. He said, it's not man's gospel, it's not human invention. I didn't develop this myself, but I got it by direct revelation from God. And so am I seeking the approval of men, Paul says, or am I seeking the approval of God? Am I concerned about pleasing men in the ministry of the word, or am I concerned about pleasing God? If I am a man pleaser in my preaching ministry, then I am not the servant of Christ. I am not the servant of Christ. Brethren, we need to preach the truth. And let the chips fall where they may. God's got this thing. God, if they run me out of the church, well, then let them run me out of the church for the truth, not for any other thing. And let me stand on that gospel message. Let me stand on that. My wife and I, we drive through Springfield, and we'll come to these little churches, and they'll pop up in a day, and there's 40 cars out in the front of them already, and I'll drive by, and I'll go, what is that? They got 40 cars already. But about a month later, they're gone. And then a couple of months later, another one pops up. And they got like 40 or 50 cars. And you know, it's frustrating. You kind of go, but then we'll talk and, you know, I'll say, but that, would I want all 40 of those folks to come? No. I mean, you look at that and you look at why they come. And we drove through one day real slow and you could see the drum sets and the guitars and the banjos and all that stuff. And say, Lord, what is going on with the Church of Jesus Christ? But a quick explanation, and we finish in chapter 2, when Paul now, he, of course, chapter 1 and chapter 2, he vindicates his apostleship. He reproves them for being removed from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. He talks about his conversion in the end of chapter 1. He talks about his calling in the beginning of his ministry. And then he talks about, in just the first five verses, we'll see, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. I believe he's talking about that meeting that happened in Acts 15. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them, which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. You know, Paul went up, and he didn't go up pridefully and arrogantly, but he met with the apostles privately and men of reputation. And I believe there were some of those false brethren at that meeting. I do believe that, because he brought Titus up with him. And they talk about Titus here. And this was a point of contention, because Titus wasn't circumcised. And I believe when they brought Titus up, I believe some of these Judaizing people were in that meeting. And I think they were trying to compel them to circumcise Titus, I think, when he came up. Now, you may have a difference of opinion. I don't know. That's the way I read it in my little puny South Louisiana mind. But you look and say, were they compelling him? And Titus, it says there, who was with me, being a Greek, he was not compelled to be circumcised. And I believe they met together. He met with Peter and James and the other apostles, I believe, so that when they came out of that meeting, they would see that Paul preaches the gospel of the uncircumcision to the uncircumcision, that is, to Gentile peoples, and Peter preached the gospel to the Jews, and it was the same message, just to different people. Same message. And they went into that meeting. And it says, and because of false brethren, verse 4, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again into bondage. Imagine what would have happened if Paul would have conceded. And this is why we can't concede, brethren. We can't let anybody change the message. Think about if he would have conceded and said, okay, well, Titus, you just need to get circumcised. Think about if he would have conceded. It would have weakened the message, because that was the very point of contention, is that except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. But he didn't concede. And I'll tell you a little story. And I read this story, and I don't know who wrote it, but there was a rich man, owned hundreds and hundreds of acres of land. And after several years, he found out that there was a quarter of an acre that had been mismarked by the guys that do the survey. And his steward that kept account of all of his properties, he went to the rich man one day. And what happened was, a poor man that owned a 50 by 100 lot on the edge of his property, his 50 by 100 lot, they found out, encroached into the man's hundreds of thousands of acres. Now, you might think, just give the guy, just redraw the thing. You don't have to take the guy's 50 by 100 lot away. But the rich man said, no, you go and redraw that. Make sure that thing's drawn correctly. Make sure it's right. And we need to go get that piece of property back. Now, you're thinking, come on. It's just a little piece of property. And I said all that to say this. Don't concede one tiny little bit of the true message of Christ. Keep it all. Don't be removed from one tiny aspect of the truth of the gospel or of any portion of the word of God, brethren. What Paul says after that, when he came to the meeting, and they talked about these things at the meeting, and I think in that meeting there was some contention. I think it indicates that from this portion of Galatians. And Paul says in verse 5, and I'll be finished, he says, to those Judaizers and to those that would have desired that we would add circumcision to the gospel, he says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Not for a minute did we give in. And brethren, we need to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Don't give up one foot of the field. We need to keep the field. We need to be a Jew to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Because it is the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It brings the common salvation, that true salvation that we possess in Christ. And so he says, and he finishes out there, he says, he didn't give way by subjection, no, not for an hour. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So that it might continue. And I read this portion of Scripture, and I often wonder, and I like to think, what if this thing would have went south? What if this thing, what if Paul would have conceded? Where would we be today? I don't like to think where we'd be today. But then I think, what if I concede? What if I just say, well, you know, we want to get more people into the church, so we got to change some things. We got to kind of just make the gospel right over here, but we got to add in a whole bunch of other things. Like the brother said, let's get a band in here. Let's sing. Let's get a symphony. Let's sing for an hour. People like that. I mean, let's do some different things. Brethren, don't concede. Don't give in. Paul says, I didn't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so, brethren, if we don't hold to this message, we will not be dressed in beauty that is not my own. We'll be dressed in our own filthy rags. And sinners will not be wakened up from wrath to flee. They will only sit and wallow in their sins, thinking that they are at peace with God, when in fact, God is still angry with them because they have not heard the true message of Christ and they have not turned from their wicked ways. That's a burden to me, brethren, is that someone, when you talk to somebody and they think that they've been saved by some mystical experience, and you have to break the news to them that you're not saved. If what you're telling me is true, then you do not possess the salvation which is in Christ Jesus that the Bible teaches. And so, brethren, may we be faithful with this entrusted message that God has given to us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take my stammering words, O God. And I pray that you would visit the souls of each precious soul that's here. Father, especially us who preach the gospel, those of us who witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, may we not give in by subjection to false teaching, no, not for an hour, not for a minute, that the true gospel of Christ might continue with us. We're so thankful for our beautiful Savior. We're thankful that the gospel is glorious all by itself. It doesn't need help. It doesn't need my help. Father, I need your help to preach it. And so, Father, I pray that your Spirit would have free course. I pray that your Spirit would exercise power even in our midst, O God. I pray that if there's any among us that are outside of Christ, O God, that your Spirit would take that precious instrument. And Father, I pray that light would be given to them. The Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth light unto the simple. And so, Lord, I pray that sinners would be converted unto thee this day. And we'll ask these things in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.